This evening we're going to continue with the pastime of Govardhan Lila. In the morning we discussed Govardhan Puja, but it's not over yet, because Krishna had additional purposes. So, little summary. After receiving food from the wives of the brahmanas, Krishna continued along the side of Govardhan Hill and saw this grand arrangement for a big festival, and asked his father to explain the type of festival, what its purpose was, and so forth. And after hearing from his father, he spoke about there's no necessity to worship Indra, because after all, everything is dependent upon our good work, and if we do good work, then Indra is obliged to provide the rain, so we don't need to worship Indra. Rather, we're not city people, we're village people. We live in the countryside and we're dependent upon the natural, what is produced from the land, and especially Govardhan Hill. So he proposed to his father that they worship Govardhan Hill, and he gave a description of how that worship should be done. Bring the same brahmanas together and chant the mantras for the worship of Govardhan Hill. And so that's what they did. Everything that they suggested. The brahmanas came, chanted auspicious mantras, and this very same paraphernalia intended for Indra's sacrifice was used for worship of Govardhan Hill. And, as Krishna indicated, they fed the cows sumptuously. Of course, the Bhagavatam says they fed them grass. And that looks like not grass, it looks like from the Anukut itself. And then they arranged decoration of the cows and bulls and calves so they could circumambulate around Govardhan Hill. Note that it's Govardhan Puja takes place the day after Diwali. So it looks like they had the inside of the Goshal decorated with lamps. And then with golden ornaments and golden ropes and all kinds of nice decorations, decorating the cows, they went in procession, just as Krishna had said, putting all their paraphernalia on the back of the bullock carts, and the cows and the oxen and the bullocks all singing Krishna's glories, with the brahmanas chanting their mantras as everyone is passing by. And then the Anukut was arranged. Big mountains of rice and chapatis and milk preparations and vegetable preparations and baked goods and sweets and everything. Piles and piles. We'll see later some photographs of Govardhan Hill where this Anukut took place. It's very, very big. And then after they arranged everything for offering to Govardhan Hill, Krishna assumed this huge form, declared to everybody, "I am Govardhan Hill." And he started devouring everything very quickly. There's the Anukut spread out before Lord Hari. He's eating a little slowly there. And Krishna came before this form of Lord Hari and paid his obeisances. Just see how this hill has appeared in person and bestowed his mercy upon us. Everyone was very happy. except this fellow up here. He witnessed everything and saw that they were accepting Krishna as their Lord and Master instead of Indra. So he became very angry and he summoned the Samvartaka cloud, speaking like he was the Supreme Controller himself. He said, "The prosperity of these people has made them mad with pride." Notice he's projecting his own pride upon someone else. "The prosperity of these people has made them mad with pride, and their arrogance is backed up by Krishna. Now go and remove their pride and bring their animals to destruction." He really got carried away. "So I will follow you to Braja, riding on my elephant Airavata and taking with me the swift and powerful wind gods, the Maruts, and decimate Nanda Maharaj and the whole village of Braja and Krishna and the cows and everybody." Samvartaka didn't really want to do that, but he followed Indra's order. And they traveled over Braja and poured down torrents of rain upon the whole land of Braja. Clouds blazed with lightning bolts and roared with thunder as they hurled down hailstones and rain that was in massive columns, like these big columns. Propelled by the fearsome wind gods, the clouds blazed with lightning bolts and roared with thunder. The earth was submerged in the flood, and the high ground could no longer be distinguished from the low ground. The cows and other animals, shivering from the excessive rain and wind, and the cowherd men and ladies, pained by the cold, approached Lord Govinda for shelter. Trembling from the distress brought about by the severe rainfall, trying to cover their heads and calves with their own bodies, the cows approached the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and ensemble, the cowherd men and women addressed, "Krishna, Krishna, O most fortunate one, please deliver the cows from the wrath of Indra, and please save us also." So Krishna considered the situation. He thought within himself, according to Shukadeva Goswami, "Because we stopped his sacrifice, Indra has the cause of this unusually fierce, unseasonable rain, wind, hail. By my mystic power, I will counteract this disturbance caused by Indra. Demigods like Indra are proud of their opulence, and out of foolishness, they falsely consider themselves the Lord of the universe. I will destroy such ignorance." So it's an ignorance destruction mission. "I must protect the cowherd community by my transcendental potency, for I am their shelter. I am their master. And indeed, they are my own family. After all, I have taken a vow to protect my devotees." This is the cows taking shelter of Krishna, the cowherd boys taking shelter of Krishna, the ladies covering their heads, the torrents of rain coming down over Govardhan Hill, and the lightning and thunder, and everything is flooding. So Krishna is considering, "Since the demigods are endowed with the mode of goodness, the false pride of considering oneself the Lord should certainly not affect them. When I break the false prestige of those bereft of goodness, my purpose is to bring them relief. I must therefore protect the cowherd community by my transcendental potency, for I am their shelter. So, Krishna, the language of the Bhagavatam, is that Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill as easily one lifts a frog's umbrella. Now when it's raining and the frogs want to get away from the rain, what do they use for an umbrella? Mushroom. You know what a mushroom is? You don't know. It's a frog's umbrella, that's what it is. So Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill as easily as a child can lift a mushroom. No problem at all. And then he told them, O mother, O father, O residents of Braja, if you wish, you may come under this hill with your cows. Bring all the paraphernalia, all the bullock carts and all the household paraphernalia so everything doesn't get wet and soggy. So they climbed out of the waves surrounding all of Braja. There's many paintings of the pastime. You should have no fear that this mountain will fall from my hand, and don't be afraid of the wind and rain, for your deliverance from these afflictions has already been arranged. Just hearing Krishna's words. There's many pastimes like this when there's a danger. Krishna just, he didn't even do anything yet. He just says a few words. And all their anxiety and fear and everything goes away. He just said, come under the hill, and they were fine. They all entered beneath the hill, where they found ample room for themselves and all their cows, wagons, servants, and priests, and all the other members of the community as well, because the hill expanded. When Krishna touched the bottom of Govardhan Hill, Govardhan Hill was very happy being touched by Krishna's lotus hand, and Govardhan Hill expanded. Room for everybody. Then for 7 days and 7 nights, that's how long it took to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, where Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit both fasted and didn't sleep. Well, Krishna and all the residents of Vrindavan also fasted and didn't sleep. Try it. You can't do it. 7 days and 7 nights not eating anything, not even thinking of eating anything, because they were just with Krishna. They were feasting their eyes on the beautiful form of Krishna. Here's a nice painting of Nanda Maharaj holding his cane up. We know this from Nectar Devotion. Nanda Maharaj is thinking, my child, he's thinking he's holding up this hill. It's actually me who's holding up the hill. And Krishna knew that some of the cowherd men were thinking like that. So he started lowering the hill down. And they were trying to hold the hill up and they couldn't hold the hill up. Lord Krishna held up the mountain while his praises were chanted by the residents of Vrindavan, all of whom had now the opportunity to dwell together with him and who glanced at him with joyful and amazed eyes. Thus the cowherd men and women were all elated. Out of loving affection, they opened their eyes wide. Of course, here's Nanda and Yashoda. And, well, this is a Biji Sharma painting, I think. So there's Indra. Each of these people, just like when Krishna's getting onto the chariot of Akura, leaving Vrindavan, each of the personalities in that Biji Sharma painting is somebody. There's a name. There's someone associated with Krishna's pastimes. Just like on the hill, I don't know if you saw it because it was around a fence, but there's a little flag in there, Mukhara. Mukhara is a grandmother. Very, very elderly lady. It's something like a sadhu. So there it looks like Mukhara over here. Similar in the that same, you look closely, you see the painting of Krishna getting on the chariot. So many, all under the hill of Govardhan. Little cowherd boys, his Priyanarma Sakas down here. Of course, these guys look like midgets. And Krishna was only 7 years old, so how little were they? Anyway, it's an artist's depiction of Krishna's lifting Govardhan Hill and the residents of Vrindavan underneath the hill. Very famous Leela. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that 7 days of a continuous rain from the Samvartika clouds failed to flood the district of Mathura because the Supreme Lord simply by His potency immediately dried up the water as it fell to the ground. Well, His potency can be simply His willing potency. That's all it takes. It doesn't take anything more than that. But sometimes He engages one of His devotees. So one of the narrations is that His Sudarshan Chakra circumambulated around Govardhan Hill so fast, again and again and again and again, with heat. It evaporated the water and drove the water away. But those of you who have been to Manasi Ganga, who's been to Manasi Ganga? So when you're standing at that little walkway and overlooking Manasi Ganga, there's the mouth, Mukharavind over here to the right, and just past that is Chakaleshwara Mahadev, the place where Sanatan Goswami sat. So there's a, it's called Chakaleshwara because the Sudarshan Chakra wanted a place to rest, so Krishna gave him that place to rest. Whew, tired. Another painting with the same message. This is a modern ISKCON art painting. Cowherd boys playing on their flute, beating on the drum. Krishna's even just got his hand on his hip very casually, holding up the hill. By continuously drinking the nectar of the beauty and sweetness of Krishna, the residents of Vrindavan felt no hunger, thirst, or fatigue, and Krishna, by seeing their beautiful forms, also forgot about eating, drinking, and sleeping. Anybody know a 7-year-old boy that forgets to eat? No such thing. No such thing. Oh, I forgot to eat for 7 days. No such thing. And for all of these wonderful, our acharyas have details and details and details about exchanges. Krishna said this, and one of the cowherd boys said that, and some of the gopis said this, and some of the gopis said that. When Krishna was seeing the forms of the gopis, his arm began to tremble. And the people were all afraid, and Balaram started laughing because he knew why. And when Krishna saw Balaram laughing, he knew that Balaram knew why. So Krishna became embarrassed. And then different exchanges. Some of the cowherd boys were saying, Krishna, your arm must be getting tired. Can you change arms? And then we can massage your left arm? Ordinarily, a large cowherd community, which includes many thousands of cows, actually hundreds of thousands of cows, calves, bulls, and so on, could not fit under the base of a medium-sized hill like Govardhan. Again, because Krishna was touching the hill expanded, and in fact the thunderbolts and these pillars of rain and huge hailstones, Govardhan didn't even feel a thing. And it said even the animals that were inhabiting the sides of the hill, they didn't feel a thing. They were in such ecstasy, experiencing Krishna's constant association, this wonderful pastime. So this painting, again, this is a much better image of the V.G. Sharma painting that's this one, but it's pretty hard to get the images so clear as this one from the sources you get them from. Anyway, cows nicely decorated, cowherd boys, everyone's completely fixed upon seeing the wonderful form of Krishna. That doesn't look like so many inhabitants underneath the hill. There were a lot of inhabitants underneath the hill, the whole of Vrindavan. And sometimes the gopis would entertain Krishna in this way, playing musical instruments and enjoying these kinds of pastimes. Govardhan was not even aware that the thunderbolts were striking. So, at the end of the 7 days, Indra had one of those uh-oh experiences. You know? Uh-oh. I really made a big, big mistake. This is from the Bhagavatam. When Indra's attack began and Krishna lifted the hill, the deer, wild hogs and other animals and birds standing on the hill's flanks climbed up to its peaks, and even they did not experience the slightest distress. From the Harivamsa, there's a quote where Krishna says, Sri Govardhan can give shelter to all the three worlds, what to speak of the simple land of Braja. Although Vrindavan is pretty big, because the transcendental world is transcendental, and Govardhan is part of that transcendental world. Govardhan can accomplish anything Krishna wants Govardhan to accomplish. So his uh-oh experience resulted in he stopped the clouds from pouring down their rain. As you see, the sun is starting to come out, and slowly the rain recedes. The flooded waters recede. This is Indra's Airavata elephant. There is Indra offering his prostrated obeisances. It's a little premature, he didn't do that yet. Seeing that the fierce wind and rain had now ceased, the sky had become clear of rain clouds, and the sun had risen, Lord Krishna, the lifter of Govardhan Hill, spoke to the cowherd community as follows. My dear cowherd men, please go out with your wives, children, and possessions. Give up your fear. The wind and rain has stopped, and the river's high waters have subsided. So they were ready to do what he wanted, but they were afraid maybe he would get crushed under the mountain. Of course, if he can lift the mountain, he can manage to not get crushed by the mountain. But he put the mountain exactly in the same place that it was before he lifted it. And the residents of Vrindavan, as you see from the illustration here, they just were celebrating Krishna's wonderful pastime, some according to their relationships, some embracing him, some bowing to him. Mother Yashoda anointing his forehead with sandalwood paste. He must be hot. Let his cool his body down and make sure he has something to eat, and you know, think that mothers concern themselves with. Surrounded by his loving cowherd boyfriends and Lord Balaram, Krishna then went off to the place where he had been tending his cows. The cowherd girls returned to their homes. singing joyfully about the lifting of Govardhan Hill and other glorious deeds performed by Lord Krishna, which so deeply touched their hearts. Surrounding cowherd boyfriends and Lord Balaram. Whoops, same. Then, Mother Surabhi came along with Indra. So when Indra had his uh-oh experience, of course there are different accounts, it says he went to seek guidance from Brihaspati. And Brihaspati, Indra, when are you going to learn? You always do these things. This time you've offended Krishna. This is big trouble. If you go back to offer your apology to Krishna, I don't think he'll even pay attention to you. But I have a suggestion. We know that Krishna loves cows. And the dearmost of the cows are the Surabhi cows of the upper regions. So if you find one Surabhi cow, and that Surabhi is willing to go with you, and you push the Surabhi cow before you, Krishna's heart will become soft. And then you can offer your words of apology. So Indra thought that was very good advice. So he brought one Surabhi cow. She was very happy. Yes, yes, let's go. Let's go see Krishna. So Indra came before Krishna with Surabhi, very much ashamed, approaching Krishna in a solitary place. Indra fell down, placed his helmet on Krishna's feet. Having seen, previously he had heard of Krishna's prowess, now he had seen, and all of his pride has now gone. So with his palms folded, he offered very nice prayers, which go as follows. Your transcendental form, a manifestation of pure goodness, is undisturbed by change. Body's eternal. Shining with knowledge and devoid of passion and ignorance, in you does not exist the mighty flow of the modes of material nature, which is based on illusion and ignorance. This is a Pushkar painting. Airavata is taking an early opportunity to bathe Lord Krishna. That comes later, actually. How then could there exist in you the symptoms of an ignorant person, such as greed, lust, anger, and envy, which are produced by one's previous involvement in material existence and which cause one to become further entangled in material existence? And yet, as the Supreme Lord, you impose punishment to protect religious principles and curb down the wicked. You are the Father and spiritual master of this entire universe, and also its supreme controller. You are insurmountable time, imposing punishment upon the sinful for their own benefit. He knows he's going to get punished. So he's indirectly saying, I know I'm going to get it. I know I deserve it. I know it's going to be coming from you, and I'm ready. Indeed, in your various incarnations, selected by your own free will, you act decisively to remove the false pride of those who presume themselves to be masters of the world. He's speaking about himself. He knows he's going to get it. Like Tatte Nukampam Susim. After Brahma had stolen the calves and cowherd boys, he knew big time reaction was going to come. Anybody that has a half a pea brain knows that when you do something very irreligious like this, some reaction is going to come. Even fools like me, who proudly think themselves universal lords, quickly give up their conceit and directly take to the path of spiritually progressive. Okay. When they see you are fearless even in the face of time. Thus you punish the mischievous only to instruct them. Nice painting at the bottom, huh? Engrossed in pride over my ruling power, ignorant of your majesty, I offended you. O Lord, may you forgive me. My intelligence was bewildered, but let my consciousness never again be so impure. You descend into this world, O transcendental Lord, to destroy the warlords who burden the earth and create many terrible disturbances. O Lord, you simultaneously act for the welfare of those who faithfully serve your lotus feet. Nice painting, the demigods showering flowers, Airavata bathing, Indra praying. Obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Great Soul, who are all-pervading and who reside in the hearts of all. My obeisances unto you, Krishna, the chief of the Yadu dynasty, unto him who assumes transcendental bodies according to the desire of his devotees, unto him whose form is itself pure consciousness, unto him who is everything, who is the seed of everything, and who is the soul of all creatures, I offer my obeisances. So that's the end of Indra's prayers, at least as they're recorded in the Bhagavatam. And then, I don't know if she did it from a distance like that, offered Abhishek. She's got pretty good aim. Offering the milk of Surabhi to bathe Krishna. We know this Govinda Kund at Govardhan Hill is the place where Surabhi performed Abhishek of Krishna. Krishna gladly accepted. And Airavata Kund, not so far away. Airavata, it's on the other side of Govardhan Hill. Airavata offered celestial waters that he carried in his trunk. And Surabhi offers some very nice words of appreciation of Krishna, saying, actually, he's not our Lord. You are our Indra. Indra indicating the Lord of others. And we would like to call you by Govinda. So, according to our acharyas, that's when Krishna began to be known also as Govinda. Painting of Indra offering his prayers. So after those two, Indra and Surabhi offer their prayers, and Airavata and Surabhi bathe him. This pastime concludes. This is a nice photograph of a Govardhan Shila. And Krishna then continued the rest of the day herding the calves and cows with the cowherd boys in Braja. So this is the area where the Anukut was performed. And this is part of the area. You see over to our right, and then continue down to the left. Huge area. This is a different season, just after the rainy season. Huge area. That's the Anukut area. And up on top is where Lord Hari appeared and ate everything. Again, the same location, different season. Big, 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 big area. In Sridham Mayapur, at the headquarters of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the Chaitanya Math, if you go in the back, you'll find this hill of Govardhan, because according to Bhaktisiddhanta, as Krishna's abode and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's abode are non-different, because Krishna and Lord Chaitanya are non-different, that which is the Govardhan Hill of Mayapur is in the back, behind where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where Chaitanya Gaudiya Math is. So there's a nice Govardhan Hill. And if you circumambulate that Govardhan Hill, it's the same as circumambulating the hill of Govardhan. Later, much, much later, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, the deity of Gopal Giridhari, Gopal, the lifter of Govardhan Hill, appeared for the worship of Madhavendra Puri, and later became known as Srinathji. There's a whole history to that event. Nice Govardhan Shila, worshipped on some altar. Some nice photographs of cows coming down the side of Govardhan Hill. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after Madhavendra Puri's pastime, where he worshipped Govardhan Hill there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wished to see that same deity of Gopal. But the place where Madhavendra Puri had worshipped Gopal was on the hill of Govardhan itself. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu literally accepted Govardhan as non-different than Krishna, so he couldn't walk on Krishna to go see the deity of Krishna. So he grabbed his arms around a Govardhan Shila at the bottom of the hill and cried loudly for Gopal to show his mercy and somehow come down from the hill. You know this pastime? So some days later, while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Vrindavan, there was an alarm. Word was sent, some soldiers are coming from the north country. So to save and protect the deity of Gopal, the pujaris brought Gopal down from the mountain and hid him in some little village so Lord Chaitanya could get his darshan for a week. And then later he was taken back up to his temple. So Lord Chaitanya had darshan of Gopal Giridhari Srinathji. There's a photograph of Govardhan Hill in that area and paintings of Indra. This is the side, as you're going along the western side, that the pastime of Krishna being worshipped by the demigods, because when Indra came also, the demigods, they wanted to offer their respect to Krishna. So right in front of all the cowherd boys, the demigods did puja. They did aarti with heavenly paraphernalia and fragrance oils and flowers and everything. And when the cowherd boys told their parents about what had just happened, they didn't believe them. This is child's talk. But so you continue down the eastern side and start going up the western side of Govardhan Hill. That's where this painting is taken, or photograph is taken. And you'll come to Airavata Kund, and you see the photograph of the Govardhan Shila, where at least it is said that's the footprint of Airavata in the Shila. That's what they say anyways. So that's the end of the pictures, the end of the Leela. Krishna's pastimes, they have many purposes simultaneously. One of the qualities of Krishna is he's expert. And one of the things that expert persons do is that when doing one thing, simultaneously many things are accomplished. It's not like multitasking. When you're chanting japa, you're answering your email, and you're reading the news, and you're planning your day, and you're taking the text messages and responding to them, all while you're chanting your japa. No. No. That's not the symptom of expert. That's the symptom of distracted. But Krishna is in a different way expert. When he does one thing, he's simultaneously achieving many things. You want to turn that off? It's very hot. So he was curbing the pride of Indra. He was satisfying all the residents of Vrindavan so that they could be with him uninterruptedly for 7 days and seven nights. He was having exchanges with the gopis where their shyness, which normally prevailed, kind of became abandoned, because how could they have happy exchanges with Krishna without being able to be who they were with Krishna? But it still went undetected. And he was disclosing the fact that Govardhan Hill is none different than him. So till today, when we worship Govardhan Hill, we worship Govardhan Hill, Govardhan Shila, with a peacock feather, which is for Krishna. But the uniqueness of Govardhan Hill is practically unlimited, just like the spiritual world is unlimited. Because as far as the residents of Vrindavan are concerned, who's the most exalted amongst the residents of Vrindavan? Everybody knows. The gopis. And amongst the gopis, Srimati Radharani. Everyone knows. At least all Gaudiya Vaishnavas know. Most exalted. But if you ask Radharani and the gopis, who is the best of all Krishna's servants, they say it's Govardhan Hill. And they give the reason why. Because Govardhan Hill is serving Krishna in so many ways. Govardhan Hill is providing nice grasses for the cows. Govardhan Hill is providing nice water coming down the side of Govardhan Hill for the cows and the cowherd boys to take fresh water. Govardhan Hill is supplying caves so that the heat of the summer and the cold of the winter and the rain, the cowherd boys can go and take shelter. Govardhan Hill is serving Krishna by providing flat rocks for Krishna and Radharani and the devotees of Krishna to sit on and have their conversations and their pastimes. Govardhan Hill is supplying minerals and pigments for painting, and in so many ways, endlessly serving Krishna. It's for that reason Krishna wanted Govardhan to be worshipped. That's just what he told his father, in fewer words. But our whole existence is dependent upon Govardhan Hill. Let us worship Govardhan Hill. So Krishna taught the residents of Vraja to worship Govardhan Hill. And we're followers of the residents of Vraja. So we worship Govardhan Hill. Now we're not on the platform of Raghunuga Bhakti. But we're doing the activities of those that are on the platform of Raghunuga Bhakti by observing Govardhan Puja. Little hint about how Prabhupada is preparing us, even in this beginning stages of devotional service, for the higher stages of devotional service, just within what we're doing already. And Govardhan is a deep mystery. That simultaneously he's Krishna and he's the best devotee of Krishna. Figure it out. Which is he? As if it's mutually exclusive. It's got to be one or the other. But Govardhan Hill is not one or the other. Govardhan Hill is both, depending upon how Krishna is to be pleased. He has a big repertoire. He can be Krishna and he can be the best of Krishna's devotees. So Govardhan is very, very special. And our observing of Govardhan Puja similarly is very, very special. It's very pleasing to Krishna, and whatever is pleasing to Krishna is very pleasing to Krishna's devotees. Especially pleasing, especially in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. Especially. And if one wants to understand properly the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, well, this is a very wonderful pastime to enter into contemplating the mystery of. You're hearing the elements of the pastime we hear every year. You can read in your Krishna book at home, even other than Govardhan Puja time, the pastime. And hear it again and hear it again, and read the Srimad Bhagavatam and the various commentaries presented in those purports, and read it again and read it again. And the mystery of love for Krishna, as the residents of Vrindavan feel love for Krishna, has a very wonderful entry point in this Govardhan Leela. Minimally, we should understand this point of how the Leela begins. Krishna doesn't want to see pride in our hearts. Krishna doesn't want to see pride in the heart of any devotee. Krishna doesn't want to see pride in the heart of the gopis. You know, there's a pastime where Krishna left. He called the gopis and he spoke some enigmatic words to the gopis. You shouldn't leave your home, you should go back. You can just meditate upon me. And they said, don't talk like this. Meditate upon you. We don't want to meditate upon you, we want to be with you. Stop teasing in this way. We've forsaken all of religious teachings to be with you. So please, don't do like this. So Krishna then appreciated their attachment for him. He orchestrated the rasa dance, and some of them at least began to think in a prideful way, oh, how fortunate, here we are enjoying rasa dance with Krishna. Krishna knows. We don't have to like advertise it on a billboard. Krishna knows our hearts. We don't have to disclose to someone else. Krishna knows. And when Krishna sees pride in the hearts of the devotee, he left the gopis. He left the gopis. What to speak of us? He left the gopis to remove the pride of the gopis. Now their pride is not like our pride. Ours is kind of the garden variety, low-grade pride. Theirs was something quite different. But Krishna doesn't like to see pride in the heart of the devotees. He may not enact a leela like he did with Indra to remove Indra's pride, but there may be some exchange between us and Krishna, or circumstances of our life that are intended to help us become free from pride. And if we're devotees, I mean, sincere devotees, we'll understand. Maybe not 100%, but we'll have some understanding. Krishna is not pleased. Some circumstance is happening that is meant for some higher purpose. At least one higher purpose certainly can be Krishna wants pride to be taken from the heart. He did with Indra. He did more or less with Brahma. So, what is the mountain of pride in our heart? So don't be surprised and don't complain if something happens in your life where Krishna is taking the pride away from your heart. I know somebody that's undergoing that experience these days, and they know what it is. And they're sometimes saying, yay, Krishna, and sometimes they're saying, boo-hoo, Krishna. Krishna's relentless. He's not stopping when they say boo-hoo. That's crying, by the way. Oh. Krishna will help us to get closer to Him if we desire that. If we genuinely desire our relationship with Krishna, He will help us If we're complacent, Krishna will help us be complacent. It won't be so... The heart will not become pure. Krishna can show His special mercy anyway if we're attached to something and at the same time sincere but attached to something. Krishna can take that something. But the whole of spiritual life is based upon Krishna's reciprocation with the living entities, conditioned souls and those who wish to become purified and the purified. And the purified, it's entirely the internal potency acting. And we're somewhere between this and that. Krishna's kindness is He'll take away the impurities, and we should want that. And these pastimes, just hearing, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and according to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, just hearing this pastime, the potency is there to take away tendency for pride from the heart. So if you have a tendency for pride, hear this pastime a whole lot. And don't like over-identify with Indra. Identify with Krishna's kindness and His loving reciprocation, the all-attractiveness of Krishna's dealings with His devotees in Brajadham. By becoming attracted to Krishna, the distraction of worldly things, including pride and all other things, slackens. Okay, so any discussion? Questions?
Maharaj, we generally hear that the devotees, the pure devotees of Krishna, they are happy when Krishna is happy. There is a feeling of love. So my question is, like suppose Krishna leaves Dwarka and He goes to Hastinapura or Mathura, and when He enters back to Dwarka, yesterday you were mentioning that they say, they feel that, why can't they be happy that wherever Krishna is, He's enjoying it someplace. So we hear that the nature of love is, if Krishna is happy, then the devotee is happy. So why does a devotee expect that Krishna should be with him? It looks like something.
Yes. Well, think carefully about your question. Think carefully about your question. When Krishna is in... You've read Brihad Bhagavatamrita? No. When Krishna is in Dwarka, He's happy being with the Yadu dynasty members in Dwarka. At the same time, Krishna's thoughts are with the residents of Vrindavan. As they are feeling separation from Him, He is feeling separation from them. So it's not just their separation from Him and Krishna is happy, so we should be happy. You see the picture. Krishna has love, especially for those whose love is intense towards Him. Wherever He is, He's all-pervasive in one sense. But He's localized and He's personal in another sense. So it's natural their affinity for Him is He has affinity for them. His happiness is to be with them and He's somewhere else. He's in Dwarka instead of Vrindavan. It's transcendental emotion. It's not possessive. It's transcendental love that has another dynamic than possessive love.
Something like they're wishing that Krishna should be happy to come back.
But it's natural. Please don't limit it to possessive love. They, as they have love for Krishna, Krishna has love for them. Krishna has love for them. Krishna has love for us. I mean, maybe this will help you understand it. We're in this dark material world. What does Krishna care for us? A lot. More than we can imagine. And that's us. What to speak of the associates of Krishna who are pure in their love, and Krishna is somewhere else for his pastimes. While he's performing his pastimes somewhere else, his thoughts are with those who have deep love for him. That's Krishna, Bhagavan, the source of all rasa. So wherever he is, he's feeling that love of all those who have love for him. His capacity is without limit. So it's not just, that's one perspective of it. We desire Krishna's, we're feeling separation from Krishna. It's part of rasa. There's meeting and there's separation. And there are feelings of separation. He leaves so that there's feelings of separation. And when those feelings of separation are experienced, the love intensifies. So Krishna wishes to be with them because their love, it's just part of rasa. Not selfishness. It's not, this is Bhakti Siddhanta's language, but it's not proprietor, ownership. It's transcendental. It's part of the transcendental science of love with Krishna, where everything is pure. There's nothing selfish, nothing one-sided.
That is why it looks very bewildering, because...
Yes, bewildering, because we look at the lens through of material things. In material things, it's selfish. And it should be... Love is the opposite of that. Should be wherever Krishna is, that's fine because he's happy. That's definition by negation. But this isn't... Not that, the flip side of selfishness. It's transcendental.
That's why the language that is used also, when Krishna enters Dwarka, they say, they compare, that you go to visits for Mathura and Hastinapura, and when you go, we feel very sad about it. They say that you go here and there, and finally you come back. So please don't go.
That's fine. That's transcendental. It's not selfish. Selfish is something else. Their love is not selfish. When your mother says, you know, don't go back to the temple. Stay here and make me happy. You be good son. And when mommy is happy, then you should be happy. It's about her happiness. It's not about son's happiness. Anyway, you get the idea. The transcendental is altogether different. Yes.
Shiva, Lord Shiva.
What about him?
He destroys this universe.
He's the destroyer of the universe.
Yes, Maharaj, but will he also get destroyed in the annihilation?
Yeah. Okay. Well, not destroyed like, you know, the soul is never destroyed. Let's assume that one. Is the soul ever destroyed?
No.
No, Maharaj. Souls are never destroyed. So, is Shiva ever destroyed? No, Maharaj. Shiva is never destroyed. But in the sense of, as the soul is not destroyed, Shiva is not destroyed, the cosmic manifestation of the position of the living entities within the cosmic manifestation is withdrawn. And that tattva, or Shiva Tattva, then takes its place with Sadashiva, who has his position in the outer regions of the Vaikuntha realm. And it's a very complicated Tattva to explain, so don't ask me to explain it, because you won't be able to understand it anyway. So, not that he's destroyed in the same sense that souls are not destroyed, but destroyed as the position of the Lord of Tamagun, or the guna avatar, his position in that respect is withdrawn. Shiva Tattva is very complex. Let me bewilder you a little bit with some of the complexity. Are you ready?
Yes, Maharaj.
Yes, Maharaj. Okay. Goloka namni nijadamni chale chatasya devi maheshu haridamasu teshu teshu te te prabhava nihitashmi hitashyena govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. That's a verse that begins one section of Brahma Samhita that's describing that Govinda is the Lord of all lords. You can give that microphone to Narada Rishi. I don't think you need to. So, that verse is before speaking about the lords. This is for you. Before speaking about the lords, he speaks of their abodes, their dham. So, Devi, Dham, Mahesh Dham, Hari Dham, and Goloka Dham. So, Devi Dham is where Brahma is, where you are, where I am, and, you know, this created realm. And then we'll skip Shiva Dham for a moment, or Mahesh Dham, and above that is Hari Dham. So that's Vaikuntha. So, if you were Gopa Kumar and you could travel beyond this universe, he did. He traveled through the upper planetary systems, through the layers of the universe. Fascinating description, the layers of the universe. And on the other side, what's on the other side of this universe? The universe is resting in the river Viraja, the causal ocean. And on the other shore of that ocean is the Brahma Jyoti. And then in the Brahma Jyoti, there's the Vaikuntha realm. You with me? Okay. So, where is Mahesh Dham? Well, we know where it's not. It's not in the Vaikuntha realm. And it's not in Devi Dham realm. So where is it? Maybe it's, you know, you can speculate. Maybe it's in the river Viraja. Maybe it's in the Brahma Jyoti. Where is it? Well, the Brahma Jyoti is the Brahma Jyoti. It's part of the spiritual sky in which Hari Dham is there. So it's not the Brahma Jyoti. So where is it? And the river Viraja is neither here nor there. So it's not neither here nor there. It's not the river Viraja. So where is it? It's a mystery. That's where it is. It's in another realm. Mahesh Dham. And then you start to say where Mahesh Dham is, and your head starts to spin because there's multiple Mahesh Dhams. From the highest down to the lowest. He's this amazing tattva. His abode is, and he is. Now back to your question. When this cosmic manifestation is destroyed, the guna avatar, Lord Shiva, as you know, most people, the common worshipper of Lord Shiva in this world, you know, a good Hindu worshipper of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is gone, that Lord Shiva. Not gone in the sense that souls are gone or Shiva is gone, but that function in the universe is gone because the universe is gone. In his abode in Kailash, because that's gone, so the abode is gone. But it's complicated. Yes.
Maharaj, while we are chanting, we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for removing anarthas and for our happiness. Is it selfishness?
What do you think?
I think it's not selfishness.
Huh?
It's not selfishness.
Tell me why you think it's not selfishness.
My friend asked me this question.
I'm asking you. Why is it not selfishness?
Because we came here from living Krishna, and here we chant for our removing our anarthas, and we'll be closer.
You've answered the question.
We want to become close with Krishna.
Yeah, you've answered the question. I want. Thank you very much. You've answered your own question. You understand the answer?
But
now let's compare the chanting of Krishna's name of the residents of Vrindavan when Indra's torrents of rain were coming. Is there a difference between their chanting of Krishna's name and yours? Yes, Maharaj. What's the difference? Their interest is not, it's pure love. They know the happiness of Krishna. The happiness of Krishna is the well-being of his devotees and the cows and the residents in Vrindavan. That's the happiness of Krishna. They want the happiness of Krishna. That's not ordinary. No, we want to get there, so it's a mix for us. Because why do we want, relief from our anarthas, as you said? Because they cause us grief, and we don't like grief. That's why. Now, if having anarthas was fun, we'd like less of them. Because it's about selfishness. It's not about Krishna's happiness. So it's a mix. And then there's unmixed. So it takes a lot of subtle, purified contemplation to understand the difference between mixed and purified motivation. But it's actually the difference between night and day. So that's okay. We're doing sadhana bhakti. And if we do carefully sadhana bhakti, it can take us to bhava bhakti and prema bhakti. But prema bhakti is not the same as sadhana bhakti. It's mixed when we chant Hare Krishna. Okay? Something else?
Maharaj,
yes.
Even who is Prajapati?
Even what?
Prajapati.
Even?
Who is Prajapati?
Well, Prajapati, take the microphone from him. Prajapati is a term, it's a post. Prajapati, the father of Praja, or mankind. So there are many Prajapatis. Persons who perform that service. Manus, the various manus are examples. Or the many of the sons of Lord Brahma who appeared for the purpose of expanding good population in the universe. They are Prajapatis. Or Daksha, at least by the position of his service. Prajapati Daksha. It's a service. It's a post. And there's different people that do that service, so they may be given the title or post, Prajapati. And that's what they do for Krishna, or for Lord Brahma, who's doing it for Krishna. Yes?
On the topic of pride that you were...
On the topic of pride.
For most of us who are just beginning to get to know Krishna consciousness, our shelter is, I mean, theoretically we know Krishna is our shelter, but factually we are not there yet.
That's right.
And as we progress, it so happens that, from what I understand from what you said, it is the internal potency of Krishna that breaks, that destroys the pride in our heart. And that manifests as circumstances not happening the way we expect to
be. Well, that's one way. There's other ways.
Okay.
Krishna has lots of varieties of ways.
But when this pride is broken, when our shelter is broken, like on a shelter in our ambitions or in our shelter in our what we are trying to accumulate, when that those circumstances come into picture, we don't have shelter in Krishna, and we also don't have, we are lacking the material things, the worldly things on which we have shelter. So we are in an in-between state, neither here.
You sound just like Arjuna.
So how do we do, we don't have the strength to take the leap, but going back to is also not an option. So how do we process it when you, especially
a step at a time?
Can you elaborate some?
Sure. Left foot first or right foot first? That's a detail. But a little bit at a time. So something that you can do, you do. Toward Krishna. And it commensurate with one's faith. That's how much one can do. Somebody that has greater faith, they can do a little bit more. Someone has less faith, a little bit less. But some faith we all have, we wouldn't be here. Commensurate with our faith, we take a step. So we do a little self-evaluation, how much faith do I have? But you know, the very nature of faith is that which looks like it's big starts to look different when you act in faith. It works like that. I'm sure you've experienced what I'm just saying. Because if we act on our own strength, big. But when we recognize that it's not just my own strength, then it shrinks. You know, space and time move. According to Krishna's indication, they're under his direction. Time is Krishna's energy. And the appearance of space is also by Krishna's direction, maya dakshina prakriti. So faith means faith in Krishna. According, we repose our faith in Krishna and everything takes shape accordingly. So the exercise is an exercise of nourishing and increasing faith. Not too much, because then we'll become scared and run back into our selfish space. Like that. So, commensurate with faith is my answer. Okay, let's go offer lamp to Lord Damodar. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.